All right, well, let's get started over here. We're holding on to Zion and Aleph by the two dots, three quarters of the way down the Amud. I will just say, for completeness' sake, though, I mean, in those times, you could have until the halacha is passed in, that each, you know, people are entitled to follow their rov. Eventually, in those times, you would have that somehow or other the halacha is decided based on rov or based on whatever, and then, yeah. Nowadays, we don't have those capabilities. All right.
So,
yeah, that's also true. Yeah, that's also true. The Batidinim had enforcement power. Now they generally don't. Yeah, there's that also. All right, so we're holding on Chesedayim and Aleph. Okay, the next one in the Mishnah that we mentioned, who's posel. So, okay, again, we have a list of people in the Mishnah that are not allowed to do the Avodah, and if they do, they're mechalot. So the first one we mentioned was, we discussed Zor. And the question was not so much where we know that a Zohar is not allowed to do the Avodah. Yeah, we have certain to that effect. The question is where do we know that we did have to bring a Pasuk to that effect, but most of the focus was how do we know that if he does the Avodah, then he's Mechalot. Because again, as I mentioned to you yesterday, after the Shir, not necessarily is everybody who's not allowed to do the Avodah necessarily passes it. You have examples of people who are not allowed to do the Avodah, but b'dieved they did it as kosher.
So there were two questions, really. One about the person who is not allowed to do the Avodah. And the second question is about the Avodah itself.
Right. So, again, with the Zohar, a little bit of the discussion had to do with where we know that he's not allowed to do the Avodah, but most of the discussion turned on the question, given that he's not allowed to do the Avodah, what's the effect? How do we know that he passes it? So similarly with the other one. The Oinin, the next one is an Oinin, whose relative died that day and hasn't yet been buried. So Manolon, where do we know that an Oinin is, if he does the Avodah, is Mechalot? Because the Pasuk says about the Kohen Gadol, Umin HaMikdash lo yetzei v'lo yichalol, this week's parasha, it says the Kohen Gadol should not leave the Bet Mikdash, and he will not be Mechalot, implying, Ha'achar shlo yotachil, implying that a different Kohen, a regular Kohen, who doesn't go out and continues to do the Avodah, will be Mechalot. So the Kohen Gadol is an exception. He doesn't do Avelus for his mason, or he does Avelus in a different way, as we learned in Sanhedrin, he favors his clothes differently than everybody else, but whatever. The point is, while he's an Oinin, the Lo Yichalo, in other words, is not a lav, according to this explanation. It's a statement of fact. The Kohen Gadol will not leave, when his parents or relatives or whatever die, the Lo Yichalo, and by not leaving, By obeying that and not leaving, he is not mechalal the avodah. In other words, the avodah that he does is kosher. Implying, if a regular kohen did, then he would be mechalal. Rav Elazar Omer Mechalal. Rav Elazar says, here's a different source. We have in Parashas Shemini when Aaron is arguing with Moshe, when Moshe comes and accuses Elazar and his son, well, why'd you burn the korban? So Aaron tells him, Because you had three chatos that were brought on that day, the chatos of Rosh Chodesh, the chatos of Matron, and the chatos of the Miluim. One of them, Rashi says over there, based on the Gemara later on in Amos Esther, we're going to have a whole sugya that discusses that story in detail, but there was the sword of Rosh Chodesh that they burnt. So one explanation why they burnt it is, so Moshe is asking, why did you burn it? You were supposed to eat it. And one of the points, that according to one way of explaining the Sukkim, one of the points that Moshe brings up is maybe the reason you burnt it is because your sons, Elazar and Itamar, who are owning him, because Nadav and Abihu had died that day, maybe they offered that carbon and that made it possible. And Aaron tells him, no, Hein Hikrivu, the positive Hein Hayom Hikrivu, which means, is according to this explanation, it means, is it then true that they're the one who will makriv it? No, in other words, the implication is I'm the one who offered it, and I, being a Kohen Gadol, I'm allowed to do the Avodah when I'm an Oinin. Miklal di inu akriv, implying that if they had been the ones to offer it, shafir ish isteruk, then it would have been correct for them to have burnt it, and then that Moshe would have had an answer. Because if they were owning him and they did the Avodah, they would have been mechalala. Mechalala would mean the korban is possible. Korban is possible means you take and burn it. So that's another way of learning, therefore, that if Aaron is stressing, do you think it was they who brought the korban? I'm the one who brought it. However, Aaron goes on to explain then, even though as an Oinin I'm allowed to bring the korban, nevertheless I'm not allowed to eat it, which again is going to be later on, we're going to have a long discussion where the Gemara is going to analyze all the details of the story. But the point is, here we're talking about that Moshe says to the son, to Elazar and Itamar, why did you burn that korban? What went wrong with it? And one of the possibilities, he says, is it maybe that you brought it when you were owning him, and you should know better, because an onan, a kohen who was an onan would be machal the avodah. And Aaron answers him, you think that it was they who brought the korban? I'm the one who offered the korban. And
made such a mistake.
He's trying to figure out why it is that they brought the korban. We're going to see later on, when we get to it, in a few months, says the Shem, that ultimately what it is out of the three korbanos, one of them was Kodshe Doris, is a korban that's going to be brought every month from then on, namely the one of Rosh Chodesh. The other two, the one of Machshen and the one of the Miluim, were one-time things. Moshe didn't realize or had forgotten the distinction that Kodshe Shah is one thing and Kodshe Doris is another, and therefore Kodshe Shah they should be eating even though they're owning him, and Kodshe Doris they should not. That's the halacha. So Aaron reminded him of that. So Aaron explained that to him or reminded him, whatever, and Moshe conceded that that's correct. But before that, he thought that the same way as you were supposed to eat the sar of Rosh Chodesh, not Rosh Chodesh, the sar of Nachshon and the sar of the Miluim, which there are explicit instructions in the Pesukim, those are Kodesh Shah, those are one-time in history Karbanos. He thought the same thing should be true of the Rosh Chodesh one. So why did you burn it? Why didn't you eat it? And he starts going through the possibilities. Did you bring in the blood into the oil moyed, which we learned before was half of it?
Only Kodesh Shah that have burnt?
No, sir. Again, Kodesh Shah not only has to, if we're saying over here, if a regular Kohen, not the Kohen Gadol, a regular Kohen does the Avodah when he's an Onan, he will pass all the Kohen.
Right.
However, the Kohen Gadol is allowed to do the Avodah while he's an Onan and does not pass it.
Right.
Now, when it comes to eating it, that was the distinction that Moshe didn't realize, which Aaron pointed out to him, even though, and the halacha is even though the Kohen Gadol, when he's an Onan, is allowed to do the Avodah, he's not allowed to eat from the Kodeshim. So, he doesn't pass them while he's bringing them, but he's not allowed to eat them. The Aaron pointed out to Moshe, it's one thing with Kodshe Shah. No, anybody who's an Onan can't eat them. So in this case, all three of them, that's why you have to burn it. That's the point. That was Aaron's point. That was Aaron's point. Because all of us who could potentially eat it are Onanim, because therefore we can't eat it, therefore we burn it. But returning to the point of the Avodah. So Moshe didn't realize that distinction. He thought the same way as they're supposed to eat Kodesh Shah, the Sur of Nachshon and the Sur of the Miluim, he thought they're supposed to eat the Sur of Rosh Chodesh as well, and that's why he was upset with them for not doing it. When we get to it in the Kufs, we'll talk about it in detail. The Gemara will talk about it. We'll talk about a Sikha. We'll talk about then Be'ez Hashem, a couple of Sikhas, where that analyzes the machlokas between them. But we'll get to that. Anyway, the point is, people can make mistakes. People can forget things. Even Moshe Rabbeinu. Even Moshe Rabbeinu. So anyway, the point is that, again, Aaron says to Moshe, you're thinking maybe the korban is possible because they offered it. No, Hein Hikrivu, do you think they offered it? I'm the one who offered it. And therefore it's not possible. Whereas if they had been makriv it, then yes, it would have been correct to burn it. So we see that here. Okay. Rabbi Lazar, my time, alma miu minamikta shalayetze. Now, why doesn't Rabbi Lazar accept the limud from minamikta shalayetze? Which is that the Kohen Gadol should not leave the Beit Mikdash when he's an Onan, and if he doesn't, he's not Machal Avodah. Amalach, the answer is, Rabbi Lazar will tell you, Miksiv Ha'achar Shalei Yatzachil. Yes, but the pasuk doesn't continue to spell out the implication that if a different Kohen goes out, that doesn't go out, continues to do the Avodah, he will be Machal. Maybe what the pasuk means is no Kohen who does the Avodah as an Onan is Machal. But the chiddush is that you would think that Adrabah, the Kohen Gadol, having a higher level of kedusha, maybe he is possible as an Onan, and therefore the Pasuk has to tell us that not. But how do you know? Maybe the Pasuk means that neither kind of Kohen, regular Kohen or Kohen Gadol, is Machal the Avodah as an Onan. So not necessarily can you learn from that.
But in fact, it is.
Okay, but nevertheless, Rabbi Lazar says you can't learn from that part. Be'idach my time ala omu meheni krivu. What about the other opinion? Why does he learn from Rabbi Lazar's Pasuk about Aaron and Moshe's debate? The answer is Kastavarim Pnei Tumah Nisrufa, because he holds there's a different reason why they burnt the korban, not because of the issue of Aninus, because as we're going to learn later on, again, when we learn about the whole story of it, there's two ways of looking why they burnt the korban. One is because they were owning him, and not only they're going to be owning him that day, but also that night. And since the korban can only be eaten by day and by night, and that's it, once the Aninus is over, then the korban has expired and has to be burnt. The other way of looking at it is no, they could still eat it the following night. Aninus Laila is only Dirabanan. The reason why they burnt it, according to that opinion, is because something Tomei touched it. Which, again, given that for a while over there they couldn't eat it because they couldn't eat it during the day. So it happened somehow that by mistake that something atomic touched it when they weren't paying attention. So according to that way of looking at it, it has nothing to do with whether with whether they were marked with owning it or not.
Okay. When it's coming, you have to burn it.
No, it's coming, you have to burn it, right. Fine. Dvei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, then in the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they taught a third source of where we of where we know that an onan who does the avodah is machalo. Ask him a kavachomer of balmum. He makes a kavachomer from a balmum doing the avodah. Ma balmum sha'oichol, ma balmum sha'oichol, ma dacha balmum is able to eat the korbanah. As we said before, it says in this week's parasha that a balmum is able to eat from the korbanah. Right. He can't be machalo with them, but he can eat them. Im over. In that sense, yes, but he can't do the avodah. Yeah.
He doesn't have that.
I don't know, same level of kedusha, whatever. He can't do the avodah, but he can. Yeah, I don't know. Okay, and yet in ovad chilul, but if a balmum does the avodah, he's machalol, as we established before. Well, onen shein ochel, an onen who's not even allowed to eat korbanos.
So much more so.
And indeed, shein ovad chilul. How much more so? If he does the avodah, he's machalol. Okay, the problem with that is mala balmum shekain also the craven kama craven. A balmum maybe is different because, as we said yesterday, the pasuk equates the craven, the animals that are being brought as korbanos, with the makriven, the people who are bringing them. Namely, neither one of them can have a mum. Whereas onin, whereas aninus, of course, is not relevant to it.
You equate the craven and the makriven?
In other words, the animal that's brought as a korban cannot have a mum. The person who's bringing the korban, because there's a kohen who's offering the korban, cannot have a mum. As opposed to aninus, it's not relevant to animals, of course. So maybe you would say that only a balmum is machalo because it applies even to the animals. Who says it applies to the onin? The answer is zor yachiyah. Fine. Prove from the case of a zor, whereas we said yesterday, zoros is not relevant to an animal, and yet it's still passable to the korban if a zor does it. Okay. Ma la zor shekein ein leitakona. On the other hand, you could argue that a zor is different because there's no way of fixing him up. Once he's a zor forever, as opposed to an onin is only a temporary thing, and the next day his aninus is over, because the whole concept of avelus of 7 days is definitely only dirabanan. The answer is balmum. Okay, prove from a balmum. A balmum can be somebody who has a temporary mum, where eventually he'll be healed and he can go back to doing the avodah. But meanwhile, we said we can't prove from the balmum, but if we're trying, and if we're saying we can go back and forth. The circular thing. The balmum yechech b'chodradin, so it goes back and forth. If you're going to try to say you can't prove the balmum because that applies to animals also, then I'll say look at a zor. You're going to say a zor is a permanent thing, balmum and onin are only temporary things. But an onion is only a temporary thing. The answer is balmum is also a temporary thing, and we see that still is machal la
boina.
Yeah, because the mum is not necessarily a permanent thing. You can have a temporary. Some are, some aren't. You have such a thing. The fact is,
a current person is
fine. But on the other hand, you have mumim that are temporary. You have, for example, a person broke his leg, for example, that's a temporary mum, but eventually it's going to heal and he can go back to his avoda. So the chodra din, so it goes back and forth, both the onin and balmum each have their unique features, hatzada shava shebehen, but what do they have in common, shehen muzharin, that they're both wound in the Torah not to do the avodah, the im avdu chilulu, and either of them, if they do the avodah, are machalalit, hafani avi onin, then by that logic, we can also bring in the onin, shem muzhar, he's also warned, which we're going to see in a second, where an onin is warned not to do the avodah, but there is a warning in the Torah someplace that he shouldn't do the avodah, therefore we can say also through the Tzad HaShava that if he does the avodah, he's mechalal.
How do you apply from the Tzad HaShava to the onin?
Because that's how a Tzad HaShava works, that's how we've been using Tzad HaShavas all this time, throughout the 16 blocks of this Masechta that we've done so far, we've been using Tzad HaShava. The way a Tzad HaShava works is, we say, if we find two different cases, which have a certain din in common, each of them has a unique feature that the other one doesn't have. So we can't say that the din that they have in common is because of one or another of those unique features, because each one has one that the other one doesn't. We obviously have to say, we have to find what do they have in common, what features do they have in common, which results in this din. Once we find that, then we can include other things that have the same features. So over here, we're going to say, on the one hand, a balmum is something which applies both to the people and to the animals, which onin does not. On the other hand, zoros doesn't apply to animals, but zoros is a permanent condition, whereas balmum is not. So you can't say because you can't say it's because of Baal Mum it's because Mumim applied to animals and to people that's the reason why it's Machal Avodah, because that wouldn't explain Zor. You can't say it's only because of the permanent condition that it's Machal, because that doesn't apply to Baal Mum. So we have to say, what do Baal Mum and Zor have in common? Both of them are told in the Torah not to do the Avodah, and therefore the result is that both of them, if they do the Avodah, are Machal.
So you find a third.
You find a third, you find something that they both share in common. You find something that they both share in common. And then once we have that, then we include anything else that also shares that commonality.
So let me ask you, if you find two or three things that they share in common, how do you know which one applies to both?
So that's then we have to say it means all of them. You'd need all those features. Yeah, it means all those features would need them. That's what we did in the previous pair, for example. That's how it works, yeah. Now, the only thing is, sometimes we can find a different commonality which they have, which something else does not have. And then we can shlug up that Sada Shava, unless we bring in something else.
As a different commonality.
We find a different commonality. We did that yesterday, for example, when we were trying to do a Sada Shava to show that a Zor is Mechal of the Avodah. We pointed out, it's true they have the Sada Shava that neither of them can do that neither of them can do the Avodah. On the other hand, we started trying to learn from a Tomei and a Baal Mum. But we said, on the other hand, a Tomei and a Baal Mum neither one of them is allowed to do the Avodah by a Bama, whereas a Zor is. So maybe you could say, therefore, it applies to them. They're Mechal Avodah in the Beis Hamikdash, but a Zor is not, because a Zor is more lenient when it comes to a Bama.
So therefore,
we have to use a different set of shot.
One second. Can we apply the second one that applies to one and not the other?
No, when you apply something else that applies to both of them and not to the third.
Right.
So then, and not to the third. So if the Tomei and the Baal Mum, neither one of them can do the Avodah in the Bama, whereas the Zor can, then you break apart that side of Shabbat. Okay. All right. Fine. So the question is, Heichan Mutar, so where do we find a warning in the Torah that an Oinin is not allowed to do the Avodah? You're going to learn it from that pasuk regarding the Kohen Gadol that says he should not leave the Beis Hamikdash, implying that any other Kohen who's an Oinin should. So what do you need? You don't need a special limud to say that if he does, he's Mechalo, Chilo Begufe, because the pasuk says right there, V'lo Yechalo. Implying, again, as we said before, that if a regular Kohen doesn't leave in the middle while he's an Oinin, then he's going to be Mechal as Avodah. So you don't need any. So if you're using from that pasuk as the Azhara, then you know right away that he's Mechal. Ela Meheni Krivu. No, we have to say that the Azhara comes implicitly from that pasuk Heni Krivu, where Aaron says to Moshe, do you think they're the ones who were mocked with the Korban, Allah's only summer? No, it was me. Because had they done it, they would have been, because they weren't allowed to do it. So I'm implying that there was the Isser for them to do it. Because Samu, now Ninus Nisrafa. So therefore, we have to say, Tanad Ve Rabbi Shmuel holds, not like the second opinion that we said before, that the reason why they broke the Korban, the third of Rosh Chodesh in that case, was because Tumah had touched it, but rather because they're owning him. And they're owning him by day and they're owning him by night. Because we don't need to. We can say that the reason why they burnt it is because they were owning him by day and they were still going to be owning him by night. And therefore, there was nobody to eat the carbon and therefore, automatically, therefore, they could go burn it. So therefore, implicitly, in other words, from that process, we get an issue that they are not allowed to offer the carbon when they are owning him. Because that's what Moshe is saying, that was it you who were makar of it owning him, and if so, then I can understand why you burnt it, and Aaron is telling them, no, they weren't makar of it either.
And therefore, from there, you deduce.
So therefore, from there, you deduce that an Oinin is not allowed to do, that an Oinin is not allowed to do the Avodah.
And so you don't need to find another source.
So that's the source, therefore, that an Oinin is not allowed to do it. Now we use that for the Sada Shava that we said, therefore, just like we have Baal Mum and Zor, who are warned not to do the Avodah, and if they do, they're Mechalalit. So also an Oinin is in the same category. We find a warning in the Torah that he's not allowed to do the Avodah. Therefore, we can have the commonality with the other two that if he does do the Avodah, he's Mechalalit. Okay, the problem with that is Malat Sada Shava Shaban, Shekemle Hutra Mitlolo. On the other hand, you can argue that there's a different commonality between a Zor and a Baal Mum. You never have any exceptions to them. There's no exception where Zor is able to do an Avodah, from Kabbalah and on, that is. There's no exception where Baal Mum is ever able to do the Avodah. On the other hand, an Oinin, there is an exception. We just said a Kohen Gadol is allowed to be Makriv when he's an Oinin. So therefore, so that breaks apart the Sada Shava, yeah. The answer is Tomei, you see. Fine, but prove from a Tomei instead. We're a Tomei. is you also have an exception, namely when it comes to Korbanos Tzibur and also the Korban Pesach, which is semi-Korban Tzibur, which those can be offered when most of the Kahal is Tame, they can still be offered, right? The Pesach and all Korbanos Tzibur. All Korbanos Tzibur, yes. Because B'moyadoi, because the positive has to be brought in their proper time. Any Korban about which it says B'moyadoi means that it can be brought even B'tumah.
Because
Tumah Tchuyah or Tzibur? Yes, Tumah Tchuyah or Tzibur, yeah, as the various discussions in various places in Shap. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So that's the point, in other words. So you can consider from a Tomei, where Tomei also you have an exception, and yet other than those exceptions, but Tomei Koyan does the Avodah, he's Machalo. So therefore, obviously, in other words, it has nothing to do with whether there's an exception or not. So therefore, it's not a Shavah works that way. Yeah. Okay, but you're going to ask. And also an exception for the Tomei. Right. However, Mala Tomei Shekin Matame, on the other hand, you can argue a Tomei is a special case because he's capable of making other people Tomei, which is not the case of an Onan. Again, Hanachichichu, again, will go back and prove, again, also from the Baal Mum and the Zer, Bechazer Adin, Bechola, and again, this way we have a commonality between the three of them, Atzada Shava Shemam, Shemuz Harim, Bechola, and Atzada Shava is that regardless, it's true, each one of them has a feature the other one doesn't, but all three of them do have, but there's no one feature that all of them share, other than the fact that all of them are told not to do the Avodah, and all of them, if they do the Avodah, are Mechalalit. Therefore, we can also bring in the Onin, then he'll be in the same category. Rashi, by the way, brings up the point. Why don't we say that a zar is we're arguing about cases where you find an exception. You can argue a zar is sort of an exception also because a zar is able to do the avodah by a bum. However, Rashi says that's not considered a chutah mikvaloi because by a bummer you never had an iser for a zar to do it in the first place. What's chutah mikvaloi? Rashi explains is where you have something that normally is aser, but the Torah makes an exception. Normally, a Kohen who does the Avodah, an Onan who does the Avodah is Machal. But an exception is carved out for the Kohen Gadol. Normally, a Kohen who's Tomei is not allowed to do the Avodah if he does it Machal. But an exception is carved out for Korban HaSidur. By a Bummer, you never had in the first place, but a Zohar is not allowed to do it. So that can't be called an exception having been carved out. That can't be called Hutra Mitzvah. A Zohar is always allowed to do it by a Bummer. Yeah. Tosfos learns a little bit differently.
And today, you mentioned we are allowed to
do bombs nowadays. No, once the Bismuth Fish was built, you're never allowed to do bombs again. Okay, but anyway, Tosfos learns a little bit differently. Still, Hutru Mikvola would mean in the same place where it was offered. Fine, a Zohar is able to do the Avodah by a bomb, but that's a different place than the Bismuth Fish, so that's not really considered Hutru Mikvola. Okay. Fine. Okay, the Lifrit, however, still, why can't we schlug up that Sadashava by saying, Mala Sadashava Shabahan, Shekem Le Hutra Mikvola, and Etzel Kohen Godel, Bekoven Yochid. Fine, but you can argue like this. There's no exception among the three that we're trying to learn from. We're trying to learn from the combination of Tomei, Baal Mum, and Zor. Now, it's true we said that Tomei has an exception. However, but we could argue none of them have an exception when it comes to the Kohen Gadol by a Korban Yachid. Namely, by a Korban, in other words, by Korban HaSibur, yeah, you have an exception for Tomei. By Onan, you have an exception for the Kohen Gadol. But you could argue maybe that's it. With Baal Mum, you never have an exception. With Zor, you never have an exception. With the Tomei, you only have an exception for Korban HaSibur. So you want to say an Onan is different because you want to say an Onan rather is in the same category because he's warned not to do it and therefore it's all about Chilul unless he's a Kohen Gadol, but we don't find such an exception by any of the other ones. So maybe you would say the other ones are Mechalel, maybe Aninus. Since we find an exception for a Kohen Gadol by Korban Yochid, maybe that's enough to break apart the Tzada Shava and say that we can't necessarily say that it's Mechalel in other cases. The answer is Shein Tumah Mia Ishtaroi. True, but on the other hand, the fact is you do have the basic concept that something is mutter. You do find that tumah there is a case when it's mutter, namely the sibur. Okay, so you have a difference between sibur and yachid. That's not strong enough to break apart the tzada shava. The fact that you find that there are korbanos that can be brought for tumah. Okay, they're only korbanos sibur. They're not korbanos yachid, but still that's good enough. That still works for the tzada shava. Okay. Rav Masharshi says here's a different way of learning it. Of learning that the Onin is Pachol the Avodah, Mechalal the Avodah. So we have so far we have three different ways. Again, we have from the pasuk min hamikdash lo yetzei, we have from hein hikrivu, we have Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, who learned it from a Tzad HaShava, which ultimately we said as a Tzad HaShava between three different other cases, Tomei Zor and Balmum. So now Rabbi Sharshia says here's another way. After
so many ways.
We want to have more than we want to have, as many possible ways of learning it. This way, if we can slog up one of them, we still have the other. Rabbi Sharshia Yama after a Kavach Chomer miYoshi. We can learn it by a Kavach Chomer from a case where a person is sitting and doing the avodah, which as we learned before, and as we learned in our Mishnah, and we'll deal with later on, sitting passes the avodah. Or my Yoshev Shalikol, Madoch, when a Kohen is sitting, he's able to eat korbanos because he's not eating them standing up. Im Ovad Chilul, and yet if he does the avodah, he's mechallel. Oinen Shein Oichol, while an Oinen, then he's not able to eat korbanos as long as he's an Oinen. Einadin Shein Ovad Chilul. How much more so if he does the avodah, he's mechallel. Okay, the question is, again, like we said yesterday, Mal Yoshev Shekin Posel Eidus. You could argue, though, that somebody sitting is Posel Eidus, because Eidus has to be given standing up, as we said.
Why Eichel would be more than Eichel?
You're saying that Yoshev is able to eat, but he's still Mechal of the Avodah if he does. So an Onan who's not even able to eat Korbanos, how much more so he should be Mechal? Okay, but the question is, Mala Yoshev can puzzle Eidus. On the other hand, we find that when a person is sitting, then it passes the Eidus, right? That's the answer. The answer is, Mi Yoshev Tamar Chochem. Fine, but we can answer from the case of a Tamar Chochem, we'll give Eidus where we make an exception and he's able to sing. Okay, the question is, Mala Shem Yoshev Shekin puzzle Eidus. Fine, but you have the basic concept is when a person is sitting, it passes the Eidus. We have an exception for the Tamar Chacham, but in general, sitting passes the Eidus. The answer is Shem Yoshev Leparich. You can answer that he doesn't care about Shem Yoshev. The fact that you can find an exception, so it's not an absolute statement that a Yoshev is always puzzle Eidus. Therefore, that's good enough
because of
the Tamar Chacham. So therefore, that's good enough for his Kavach Chomer to work. The im timsalim of Parish, and even if you're going to argue that maybe you could use that to break up the Kavach Chomer, fine. Ask him Yoshev and Machad Mehana. We could combine it together. We could combine the case of Yoshev and one of the other psalim, the Tomei or the Balmum or the Zor, and we said before, which therefore none of those are possible when it comes to Eidus. The Zor is not possible Eidus, so a Balmum is not possible Eidus, and a Tomei is not possible Eidus. And yet they're Machal Avodah. On the other hand, you're going to argue each of them has a feature of their own. The Zor is a permanent thing. The Balmum is the Balmum applies to the animals as well. The Tomei is able to be Matame other people. Fine. But on the other hand, none of those things apply to the Yoshev. So by combining them together, we have a Tzad HaShava where we can include in the Onin as well. Tosfos, by the way, does point out there is whether the Gemara should have asked those. On the other hand, the fact is we see there's no exception when it comes to the Avodah, when it comes to Yoshev. On the other hand, we're saying there is an exception when it comes to the Oinen, namely for the Kohen Gadol. So that's the point. So the Gemara could have asked that Yoshev maybe is different because there's never any exception. The Avodah done by Yeshiva is always possible. That's for Eidus. We're talking about for Avodah.
Sorry.
For Avodah. Where's and Ninus is kosher by the Kohen Gadol? Okay, Tosfos leaves it as a question.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but on the other hand, we could still prove. Tosfos doesn't elaborate, but I mean the answer is the other ones again. Some of them have no exceptions either. The Balmum never has any exception. That's just it. Neither we're going to argue the Balmum has no exception. The Tomei has an exception. The Zor has no exception. The Tomei, though, we're saying has an exception when it comes to Korbanos Tzidkus. So therefore, maybe we could say the Onin also there is an exception. Usually it's Machalol, but if you have an exception, where he's not.
Okay. Two
that have an exception and two that don't.
And two that don't. So what do you do?
So you could still make it work.
How do you make it work?
Because you're saying, in other words, that you see that a Tomei is Machalol, even though a Tomei has an exception. Therefore, you can say that an Oinin can also be Machalol, even though there's an exception. Yeah. All right. Fine. Now, we said onin pasul, so now again, we continued. We said in the Mishnah that an onin pasul is a korban. So now let's talk about some details about that. Amar Rava, lo shonu ela b'korban yachid. That would apply only for an individual person's korban. That if an onin offers it, then he passes it. But if an onin were to do the avodah with a korban sibur, it's okay. It would be merasa. It would work. The korban would be accepted.
Korban Pesach or
any korban sibur. Kavachomer mitumah. He says because you can make a kavachomer from tumah. Ma tumah shalayhutru mikola is a kohen gadol a korban yachid. Ma doch tumah where we say with even a kohen gadol there's no exception for him. If he's tumah, he can't even offer a korban yachid. And yet, hutra etzel hedya v'korban sibur. Yet, even a regular kohen is allowed to serve in the mitzvah when he's tamei when it comes to a korban sibur. Well, aninum shu hutra mikola etzel kohen gadol v'korban yachid. Then, when it comes to being an onin, where a kohen gadol would even be able to be makrim an individual person's korban while he's an onin, ain't a din shu hutra etzel kohen hedya v'korban sibur. How much more so it should apply to a kohen hedya by a korban sibur?
It's a simple kohen to do it.
If a kohen gadol can do baninus when it comes to a korban yachid, how much more so a regular kohen should at least be able to do it by korban sibur. However, that's fine, but we can make a kavachomer. This is the kavachomer we're making. However, maskiflo rova bar ailai. However, rova bar ailai asks them that if you're going to make that kavachomer that way. In that case, I can make a number of similar kavachomers that are going to end up with opposite conclusions, or even self-contradictory conclusions, or conclusions that we know are completely not according to halacha. You could argue the other way around. You could flip around this kavachomer and argue that the kohen gadol should not be able to do a korban yachid when he's an onin, only a korban sibur. The fact is he's allowed to do a korban yachid. We could argue the kavachomer as follows. In other words, you, Rava, actually, the Shitta Professor says, whatever, are taking as a given that a Kohen Gadol is able to do the Avodah, whether for a Kohen Yachid or a Kohen Sibur when he's an Onan, but who says? Maybe that itself is something we need to prove with a Kavach Homer. And in that case, we can prove maybe with a Kavach Homer that not. Where a Kohen Hedyet is allowed to do it with Sibur, fine, we know that. Loi hutra eitz a kohen gadol b'korban yachid, but let's argue that a kohen gadol would not be able to do it by a korban yachid. Actually, not let's argue. We know for a fact when it comes to a korban yachid, nobody's able to bring it b'tumah. Not the kohen gadol, not a regular kohen. So let's continue. Aninus shalei hutra eitz a kohen hedyet for korban sibur. Well, then a kohen hedyet is not able to do a korban sibur when he's an onin, because we know the exception is only for the kohen gadol. And again, shouldn't it be a kavachomer shalei tutra eitz a kohen gadol b'korban yachid that it shouldn't be allowed for a kohen gadol when he's bringing a yachid korban? So we can flip around the kavachomer, and this that you took as a given, that a kohen gadol is able to do a yachid korban when he's an onin, not necessarily. We could say exactly the other way around, that maybe by this kavachomer, we could prove that he cannot.
And that shows that...
So why are you doing your kavachomer your way when we could do it my way? And furthermore, we could even use similar kavachomers to try and argue other things. The tuta tuma etzel kohen gadol b'korban yachid mekavach chomer. Furthermore, we can argue maybe we should say that a kohen gadol is able to perform a korban yachid even when he's tamei. We can use a similar kavach chomer to be master that. Namely, let's work the kavach chomer as follows. Uma aninus shleihutu etzel kohen hediyot b'korban sibur. Madach a kohen hediyot is not able to do the avoda by korban sibur when he's an onion, because again, we know the exception only applies to a kohen gadol. And yet we say for a kohen gadol he can do it even by a korban of yachid. So fine, let's assume that that's a given, like Rava said originally. But let's continue. Tuma shahutra etzel kohen hedyet the korban sibur. Well, then a kohen hedyet is able to do a korban sibur when he's tamei, because we know that the moyadoi ain't a din shahutra etzel kohen gadol b'korban yachid. Shouldn't it be a kavachomer then that a kohen gadol should be able to do it even by a yachid korban? And the fact is, we know that not. Yeah.
And we would say, is the kavachomer tell you it is because?
Because we just said, because you would argue that a kohen gadol is able to do whether a korban yachid or a korban sibur b'aninus. So if a kohen hedyet is able to do a korban sibur b'tumah, then a kohen gadol should be able to do it when he's tomei by a korban yachid. And yet another possibility, the loy tuta tuma etokoin had it becoin sibum and kalasimer. These are all various ways in which we, like this, we're assuming, again, we assumed certain facts in order to make a kavachomer. The Rabbah Bahai is pointing out that each of those facts itself is up for question. And if you hold that that's what you have to prove, it's kind of like you're literally begging the question. You know, nowadays people use the word begging the question to just mean you have to ask. Yeah, but really begging the question means that you're assuming a fact when really you should be questioning it. That's what we're doing over here. So, yeah. Okay. So we can argue yet a fourth way. Maybe you should argue a kohen hedyot should not be able to do the avoda of a korban sibur when he's tamei. Again, the kavah chomer. Again, we can prove a kavah chomer from the other fact. That a kohen gadol is able to do the avoda of a korban yachid when he's an oyin. Let's assume that that's the case. Loy hutra it's a coin hedyot for korban sibur, but a coin hedyot on the other hand is not able to do the avoda of a korban sibur of any korban yachid or korban sibur when he's a hedyot when he's an oinen. Well, tuma shaloy hutra it's a coin gadol a korban yachid. Well, then a coin gadol is not able to do the avoda of a korban yachid when he's tomei. Ain't a din shaloy hutra a coin hedyot the korban sibur. How much more so a coin hedyot shouldn't be able to do it by korban sibur? And we know again that's not true. That the coinim are allowed to do the avoda of a korban sibur if most of the sibur is tomei or if the coinim are tomei. So the Gemara gives the simon over here, v'loy tutar v'loy tumor, and ninus v'tumor, tumas yachid v'yachid sibur, simon. This is a simon for all of these various possibilities that Rabbah Bar Hilai just brought up. So therefore, Ella, no, so the bottom line therefore is, ikal mifrach hachi v'ikal mifrach hachi, it's true, you could make, each of these kavachomers could be equally valid. We have no way of knowing which one really is valid. Therefore, kol chada v'chada, teiku v'duchte, therefore everything remains in its place. In other words, we throw out all these potential kavachomers, and we go back to the original thing. We do not accept Rava's kavachomer either. We say that the oinin is possible whether it's a korban yachid or a korban sibur, when it's a kohen hedyot, the kohen gadol kosher whether it's a korban yachid or a korban sibur. We throw out all of these possible kavachomers. Now, Tosfos asks, why not? Sometimes we find that actually we have various kavachomers, each of which could be logical, and we accept all of them. Tosfos says the reason why we don't over here is because some of them are self-contradictory. Some of them are going to assume that something is allowed, and then an opposite kavachomer is going to assume that it's going to prove that it's not allowed, etc. So therefore we throw them all out and we stay with what it says in the Sukkim, which is that a Kohen Gadol is able to do the Avoda regardless whether he's an Onan or not. Doesn't matter Korban Yach and Korban Sibur. And a Kohen Hedyot is not allowed to again regardless Korban Yach and Korban Sibur. Okay. Fine. Next one in our Mishnah was Tvul Yoim. The next one in our Mishnah that passes the Avoda is a Tvul Yoim.
That's all based on the fact that we don't know which color.
So not only we don't know, but also, as Tosfos points out, some of them would end up contradicting each other. So we can't privilege one over the other. So therefore, we just throw them all out. Fine. Tvul Yoim, we said that somebody who was Tomei at Tovel that day but has not yet had a head of Shemesh is also not allowed to do the Avoda, and if he does, he passes it. Menolon, so where do we know that from? The Tanya, we learn in a bright sort of Simoyom, Remez the Tvul Yoim Shim Ovad Chiluminayin. Where is there a hint in the Torah that if a Tvul Yoim does the Avoda, he's Mechalo? Now, it's interesting that the Gemara uses the word Remez. The Rambam writes, on the face of it, you would say Minayin, the Tvul Yoim, whatever. So the Rambam learns in his introduction to Sefer HaMitzvot that when the Gemara uses the term Remez like that, it means it's an Asmata. It means, though, now, it's not a solid proof. However, given that we're saying it's Mechalo the Avoda, we can't say like a normal Asmata that it means that the basic din is Dirabbanan, that Abbanan wouldn't have the ability to create a Chilul of Avoda. Rather, what it means is Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai. It's Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai, where, in other words, the actual din was given to by Hashem to Moshe. However, Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai is not something that has a source in a pasuk. So this pasuk is not the actual source for the din; it's just a hint for it in the Torah.
That's where it says
remez. So the remez on the halacha of Moshe Mitzvah says it. The Ramban disagrees with that, and the Ramban says that no, what it means that sometimes the Gemara will use the word remez even to mean it's an actual din that's derived from the pasuk, and it is considered as one of the 613 mitzvahs. So the Rambam would hold, yeah, it's halacha mishmitin, and we don't count it as one of the 613 mitzvahs. The Ramban would argue, because we don't count among the 613 things that are halacha mishmitin. We only count things that come explicitly from Sukkim, or where we have a limud, or in some specific cases where the Gemara says that even though we have to learn it with one of your Yud-Gimel midas, it still can. So, for example, you have in Yavamis, we learn, for example, how do we know that a person's daughter is also to him? Is we learn it from a greater shava, and yet it's considered one of the 613 mitzvahs. But that kind of thing is an exception. Usually, are generally things that it says explicitly in the pasuk. So
the
Rambam
is the only one of the space.
It's not the only one, but it's one of the only ones. It's one of the only ones. I don't remember how many. There's a couple of others. But anyway, the point is that Ramban disagrees with that, and that Ramban says that no, it means that it is actually one of the 613 mitzvahs. We're just using the word remez in the sense that after all, the pasuk is not saying it so straightforward. We have to deduce it from the pasuk. Okay. Anyway, remez the tavul yoyim shem avad chiluminayim. Where do we have a hint to the fact that if a tavul yoyim does the avodah is makalo? Talmud Lomer, we have a pasuk again in this week's parasha. Kedoshim yiyu v'lo yichalu uliyam in the pasuk. It says they shall be holy. Kedoshim yiyu lelekeim v'lo yichalu shem lelekeim, and they should not profane. They should not make kolin. Wait. One second. That's the point. Kedoshim yiyu lelekeim. They should be holy. The lo yichalu is shem alekeim, and they should not profane the name of Hashem by making the korbanos cholin. So therefore, im ena inyan latame. Now, we don't need that pasuk to be teaching us that they're not allowed to do the avodah when they're tamei. The nafik mi v'yinozru, because we have later on also in this week's parasha when it says the pasuk v'yinozru mekonchim ben Israel, that when they're tamei they should stay away from the konchim. So we don't need the word. So we don't need the pasuk kedoshim yiyu to teach us that. Therefore, Tneu Inim, the Tvul Yoim. Therefore, we can use the positive Kedoshim Yiyu to teach us that if a Tvul Yoim does the Avodah, that he passes it. Tosef, by the way, has a very long discussion over here about the question, isn't a Tvul Yoim himself a type of Tome? It's a lesser type of Tome, but it's still Tome. So why do we need a separate positive for it anyway?
The Tvul Yoim is Tvul Yoim.
No, so
they would have set aside.
Right. Well, no, because the point is, because the concept of a tzvul yoyim, we learn from the pasuk says, Ro Hashemesh v'tar, the sun comes down, and it comes nightfall, and then he's tar, implying up to that point, he still has a degree of trouble. So one thing is the Tosfos begins by mentioning that the Gemara in Brachos, right at the beginning of Brachos, it discusses the possibility that maybe the Tahir doesn't mean the person becomes Tahir, maybe it means the sky is cleansed of light and it was completely dark. So therefore it could mean that he's still Tahir. After that, whenever Tosfos gets into a long discussion about the details of whether a Tavul Yoyim is really to what extent is he really considered Tahir. And maybe he's only Tomei for certain purposes, as far as eating kachim, for example, not necessarily as far as doing the avodah, and therefore we need what?
It's a partial
tumor. It could be a partial tumor as far as eating kachim, not necessarily as far as doing the avodah. Anyway, okay.
You could think that if you cannot eat, then you cannot.
Not necessarily. Maybe not, but not necessarily. Okay, whatever. Like I said, Tosfos has this long discussion about it. All right. Fine. Yeah. Okay, so the question is, Ema Tneu Inyan L'Kereach Kochol Mashus Pasmokon. Okay, but the question is, this Pasuk, Kedoshim Yiyu L'Elokeihem, follows immediately. It's again, since it's at the beginning of this week's parasha, it follows on a Pasuk saying that they're not allowed to make bald patches on their head in mourning for a dead person. No, not like Sakipu, that was in last week's parasha, but La Yikruchu Korchabarosham, the pasuk says they're not allowed to make bald patches on their head, like when they pull out their hair or otherwise cause hair to be lost in mourning for a dead person. We learned about it in
Masters. The hair
anywhere on their head, yeah, as a matter of fact.
The beard
is a separate thing. Here we're talking about
the hair of the beard.
Yeah, I mean, there is a fast gun of loy galech, but the pasuk continues that they shouldn't shave the corners of their beard. Yeah. So, yeah. But anyway, the point we learned in Makkos why we need Sukkim for them, when it says Sukkim like that in general for the Jewish people, because we learned details from one that we didn't know from the other. But whatever, the point is that right after that pasuk, the pasuk continues Kedoshim Yulevakim. So maybe this Kedoshim Yulevakim, fine, you don't say it means they're Tomei, because you know that from later in the parasha. But maybe it means if they made a bald patch on their head, or if they shaved their beard, then if they do the Avodah, they're Mechalal. How do we know it? Before we do it,
how do you know?
The answer is like this. Because Tevulyon Dim Ovad B'Mitzvah Menovam, we have to ask like this. Where do we know the concept that if a Tevulyon does the Avodah, then he's Chayav Mitzvah B'Dei Shemayim, which we learned from Sanhedrin. So where do we know that from? Gegomar Chilu Chilu Mitzruma. The reason is because we learned it by Zera Shava from the word Chilu, that in connection with Truma. Namely like this. By Truma it says, Umeisu Boi Ki Chalavuhu. And by our pasuk it's saying below yichalalu shem alekehem by kedoshim yul alekehem below yichalalu shem alekehem. Therefore, the pasul betruma machal avodah. Therefore, it means anybody who is pasul to eat truma, namely which includes the tvoyim, is also machal avodah. You like pasul betruma like machal avodah. Somebody who is not pasul truma is not machal avodah. Since somebody who made bald patches on his head or somebody who shaved his beard is not disallowed from eating truma. He's not possible from eating truma because Malchus for what he did, but he's not possible from eating truma. Therefore, you can't say that he's Machal Lavoda. Therefore, you can't say Tadoshim Yulevakehem is referring to him. So of necessity, it has to be referring to, it has to be referring to the Tavulia.
Because
that's what we said. Because only the one, only somebody who's also eat truma, which we learn by we learn from a Gzeira Shava over there, that a tzvul yom who does the avodah is chayav nisa. We learn it from truma. So therefore, if we eat truma, he's chayav nisa b'dei shemayim. Therefore, and from that we learn also that if he does the avodah, he's chayav nisa b'dei shemayim. So therefore, we can also draw an analogy that only somebody who's possible from eating truma is Mechal the Avodah.
Nah,
that has to be the Tevulya. So not the one who shaved his beard or made bold patches on his head. Right. Okay. Fine. Amar Rabba, Lomali Dekasa Rahman of Tomei or Tevulya and Mechotu Kipurim, why does the Torah have to spell out by each one of these three ones, the Tomei and the Tevulyoim and the Mechotu Kipurim, which was another one in our Mishnah, where, for example, a Zav or a Mitzvah, he didn't offer his Korban. Right, so with a Zav and a Mitzvah, for example, they have a multi-stage process of becoming Tahor. One of the stages involves going to the Mikveh. Another one is Head of Shemesh. The third one is bringing their Korban. No, the next day.
The next day.
They go to the Mikveh sometime before Shkia. Comes to take a chavim, then they have the second stage of their tara is completed. Once they go to the mikveh, then they're allowed to eat ma'aser shem. Once they have head of shemesh, then they're allowed to eat truma. And once they bring their korbanos, they're allowed to enter the bet mikveh and eat kosher. Once they go to the mikveh, then they can eat ma'aser shem. Then
truma.
After head of shemesh, they can eat truma, and then after their korban, then they can come into the bris mikvah and they can eat kosher. So our Mishnah had also mentioned that a mechutz kipurim who does the avodah is machal of the avodah. So Rambam is asking, why does the pasuk need to say that individually by each one of these three stages of truma that they're not allowed to do the avodah and they're machal of it? So Rashi actually points out, okay, the question isn't really on the Tomei, because if we didn't have an explicit pasuk by the Tomei, we wouldn't know the Tevul Yom. We said we have a pasuk that on the face of it is talking about a Tomei, and we had to reuse it for Tevul Yom because we already have a pasuk for Tomei. So fine, we understand why we need a pasuk for Tomei. But the real question is why we need Pesukim individually for the other ones. Why we need for the Tevul Yom and the Machos Kippurim. Why don't we just say, generically, somebody who's Tomei is not allowed to do the Avodah and Machal, but we don't need to spell out the other two. The answer is Tzrichi. We need Pesukim for all of them. Because Rahman of Tomei, because the Pesukim had only written the case where the person is Tomei outright, meaning he didn't even go to the Mikveh yet, you would argue Shekein Matamon. The reason why he's Machal Avoda is because his Tumah is very severe. He's able to make other people or things Tomei, as opposed to a Tevul Yom, is only able to, a Tevul Yom who touches Tumah makes it possible, but not really Tomei. Oh, yeah, he can't be Matamon somebody else, right? And Mechotu Kippurim for sure not, right? So, yeah. B'tvul yoim, on the other hand, if it only said by the t'vul yoim, mechot kippurim le'ofimine, you would not be able to learn the mechot kippurim from him. Shekein posel b'truma, because a t'vul yoim is a stronger type of truma, because he's posel, see, truma, and actually not only posel, but he's posel truma, if he touches it, as opposed to a mechot kippurim is not. Mechot kippurim is actually allowed to be truma. And the mechot kippurim t'vul yoim le'ofimine. On the other hand, if it mentioned only the mechot kippurim, you would not be able to derive t'vul yoim from it. Shekein mechot ma'ase, because you would argue that the t'vul yoim yet has something to do. He still has to go to the mikveh. If we have the mechot kippurim, we wouldn't be able to learn the t'vul yoim from him because the t'vul yoim has already toivul. He doesn't have to do anything else. He just needs head of Shemesh, and that happens automatically. Whereas the Mechot Kippurim still needs to do something. So then if it only said by the Mechot Kippurim, you would argue that, sure, the Mechot Kippurim topples the Avodah if he does it. Because he has to actually do something. He has to actually go and bring a korban. Whereas it's not the case of the Tvoyim, because he already told him. And as the Gemara says elsewhere, Shibshim Meila Arva, the sun sets on its own. He doesn't have to do anything. Yeah.
And so therefore?
So that's why he needs to say individually by each one.
Because you couldn't
learn them all from Tomei, because the Tomei is the Tomei. You couldn't learn Mechot Kippurim from Tvul Yoim because the Tvul Yoim is Pasol's Truma. You can't learn the Tvul Yoim from Mechot Kippurim because the Mechot Kippurim is Mechot Maisei. You have to do something actively, whereas the Tvul Yoim does not. Okay, so the question is, Mechado Le'osi, fine, granted you can't learn one of them from the other, Kesi Chodo Mechauti, but still, why does the Pasuk have to spell it out by all three of them? Let the Pasuk say it by two of them, and we'll derive the other one. The answer is Behei Loi Lichtev. Which one are you thinking that it shouldn't say by? Behei Loi Lichtev Rachmana. Which one should the Torah not say it by that you want to derive it from the other two? Loi Lichtev Mechot Kippurim. That's what we want. We're going to go through the three possibilities. Loi Lichtev Mechot Kippurim, you're going to argue that the Torah should not have had to tell us by Mechot Kippurim that if he does the Avodah, he passes it. V'teisi Mehanach, and you're going to learn it by a combination. You're going to learn it from Tzadah Shavah between Tomei and Tvul Yoim. Can't. Malahanach Shekhen Tzolim B'Truma. Because neither a Tomei nor Tvul Yoim is able to eat Truma. And in fact, if they touch it, they make it possible, whereas Mechot Kippurim is not. Ela Loi Lichtev Rachmanah B'Tvul Yoim, so you're going to argue the Torah should not have to tell us by the t'vul yoim, the tasi mehanoch, and you'll derive it from the combination of tomei and mechot kippurim. That doesn't work either. You could argue demai parchas. Now, what are you going to think to? Now, what are you going to think to shlug that? Malahanoch shekein mechotarim ma'isa. You're going to argue on the other hand, the tomei and the mechot kippurim both require a ma'isa. Again, as opposed to the t'vul yoim, who doesn't. Because Shibishim and Mela Arva, because the sun sets on its own. After
what
for the carbon, and the Tomei has to go to the mikvah. Yeah. So you could argue like that. However, right. On the other hand, Klisha Lo Tumasan. On the other hand, you can answer back. That's not a valid kasha. That's not a valid kasha because the tumah is weaker. The tumah is weaker. The mechot kippurim tumah is a very weak kind of tumah. Compared to the t'vul yoim. Yeah. So because the fact is the mechot kippurim already had head of shemesh. It's true. He's on the one hand he's more stringent because he needs a ma'aseh. On the other hand he's more lenient because he has the weakest tumah of all.
So what we say is that we yes. A ma'aseh to do.
That's true, but on the other hand, the fact is, as far as his level of tumah, he's able to eat tumah, he's able to eat ma'aseh. The only thing he's not able to do is eat kachim.
Right.
So you're arguing you want to make a tzadah shava. You want to make a tzadah shava between tumah and mechot kippurim, but mechot kippurim has a very weak level of tumah compared to t'vul yoim. T'vul yoim tumah is much stronger because he can't even eat tumah.
He cannot eat tumah.
And if he touches it, he passes it.
Right.
And he can't eat kachim.
He cannot eat kachim.
Yeah.
But he can eat
ma'aseh sheni. Fine. But
and mechot
kippurim can eat ma'aseh sheni, but he can also eat tumah.
Right.
Yeah. So you can't make a tzadah shava work like that. Yeah. So it doesn't work. In fact, actually, the Shita Mukhabetis has a girsa in Rashi that effectively what it is it's almost as if the Mechusa Kippurim didn't exist. The level of its tumor relative to its Luyem is as if it's so weak as if it was non-existent. So therefore, you don't have a Sada Shabbat. The answer is Kasavar. No, because the answer is that Rabba, who's making this point that all three of them need to be explicitly said. So the question was like this. The question was we should have a Sada Shava. We should have a Sada Shava between Tomei and Mechusa Kippurim to say that between them we'll learn Tvulyayim, because we'll say a Tomei has a very strong Tumah. So you're going to argue maybe that's it, because his Tumah is so strong, and he's Mechusa Maita. So you're going to answer Mechusa Kippurim, on the other hand, has a very weak Tumah, and yet we see that he passes the Avodah. By the combination of those two. Because he does Avodah. So by between the two of those, between the two of those, and on the face of it, we should be able to learn the Torah. The answer is, why doesn't Rabba accept that? Why does Rabba say that the Pasuk had to tell us all three of them explicitly? Why doesn't he accept that we can use that Sada Shava? Because Kasava Mechusa Kippurim Dezov Kizov Dami. Because Rabba holds that when it's Zov or Mitzora, is Mechusa Kippurim, when they have not yet brought their carbon, and therefore that they're not allowed to eat Kodshim, in that sense, they're like a Zav. They're as if they still have the full-fledged Tumah of a Zav. Meaning, in other words, like this, we would think, and we could argue, the Gemara discusses this question in various places, that, like this, so if you have a Zav, for example, or a Mitzora, it's the same thing. So again, they go through their stages of power. One of their stages is they tovel, another stage is they have hair shemesh, and the third is they bring their carbon. Until they bring that carbon, now we know they're not allowed to eat kodshim, and we know they're not allowed to eat kodshim. What if they do, until they bring their carbon? What if they do eat kodshim? Well, no. So the question is, are they high of carbon? And if they touch kodshim, are they metamic? So one way of looking at it is we can say that no. The fact is their tumor is very weak at this point. Therefore, their tumah is very weak at this point. Therefore, if they eat kodshim, the maximum they're over an arm of a lav, and they'll get malchus, but not kari. If they touch kodshim, it's not strong enough. Their tumah is not strong enough to make the kodshim tummy. We can argue that way. Yeah. If you argue that way, then you have a valid sada shava from the board, because then you can say that on the one hand you have the full-fledged tummy whose tumor is very strong, you have the mechusa kippurim whose tumor is very weak, so weak that he can't even tame kodshim, and so weak that if he eats them he's not high of kodshim, and yet either of them passes avodah. Therefore we can also bring in the tvulyayim. Rabba, which has a higher degree of tumah than the mechusa kippurim, right? That he's also machal avodah, right? However, Rabba disagrees with that. Rabba says even the mechusa kippurim, still, if he eats kodshim, he's still going to be chayav kares. If he touches them, he's still going to be metame. So therefore, you could argue that the tame and the mechusa kippurim, both have a very strong degree of tumah. As opposed to the tvulyayim, in a case at least, now you have not all tumas require a korban. If the person was tamei mes, for example, the person was tamei sheret, then there's no korban, there's no mechusa kippurim. Once he has head of shemesh, then that's it. His tumah is finished. He's completely tar. So therefore, you could argue that no, you can't have, just because it says that a tamei and a mechusa kippurim are machal da'avoda, maybe only them because they have a very strong degree of tumah. Whereas the tvulyayim does not.
By the fact that
they're able to be metamei truma and kodshim, and the fact, or not truma, but kodshim, and the fact that they're chayav kares in kodshim, whereas the tvulyayim is not. The tvulyayim, where there's no further thing to do other than a head of shemesh, is not chayav kares, and is not metamei kodshim. He's only postal them. So therefore, you could argue. So therefore, Rabba, who holds that way, will have to say, therefore you need a separate pasuk for Tvulyayim to say they have Mechal Lavoy, because you don't have the Sada Shava. Tosfos actually... we're going to see, actually, that's a Mechalukas Panoim. Tosfos actually, again, has a bit of discussion about this. I mean, we're going to say now that it's Mechalukas Panoim, but even if we say it's Mechalukas Panoim, doesn't necessarily mean, like Rashi says, that if you ate Kodshim in such a state, that you would be Chayav Kares. Not necessarily. Tosfos brings from various other Gemaras. Tosfos brings from various other Gemaras that a mechotzik yiporim who goes into the smithish, who eats kodshim, is not chayiv kod. However, Tosfos gets into a long discussion of that. One thing is, Tosfos points out near the end that what we say over here, mechotzik yiporim dissolve kazav dami, what we mean is, for example, in connection with the Korban Pesach. Now, we know the Korban Pesach can be brought to Tumah if most of the people are tummy mess. However, that only applies to Tumah's mess. It does not apply to other types of Tumah. In particular, sheretz or anything, but in particular, you have, for example, let's say a person is tummy sheretz. Fine, he's going to be Tumah that evening. Therefore, even though he's still tummy on Erev Pesach, you're able to shech the Korban Pesach on his behalf, because by the time it comes time to eat it, on the night of Pesach, he'll be Tumah already. He'll have head of shemesh. On the other hand, a Zav not, because a Zav has to bring his korban the next day. No, never mind the 7 days. The 7 days are already over, and he's terrible at the end of it. But he has his korban to bring the next day. So he's still mechotzik yiporim. Therefore, you can't check the korban pesach on his behalf, even when the korban pesach is otherwise coming to trouble. So that's a relevance of saying mechotzik yiporim to Zav, because Zav jami would mean he's like a full-fledged Zav in the sense that you can't check the korban pesach on his behalf. As opposed to, if we were to say, Lav to Zav jami, it would mean that you could. So the Gemara points
you cannot bring the
carbon paper. Okay,
so how can it
be
right?
Okay.
So what happens then?
So the Gemara Okay, so the Gemara continues. And mechotzik yiporim dissolved kezov dami tanoi. Actually, no. In that case, there wouldn't be a pesach sheni because you only have a pesach sheni when the pesach rishon was brought for tara. When the pesach rishon is brought for tuma, then there's no pesach sheni.
So
in this case, that's it. There's nothing.
So what is
it? Nothing. It's not dissolved. He couldn't help it. Yeah. Okay, so the Gemara points out, a mechotzik yiporim dissolved kezov dami tanoi. Actually, at this point, whether a zav was a mechotzik yiporim, whether he's still considered like a zav, according to Rashi as far as Taurus, according to Tosfos as far as the Korban Pesach, tanoi, that is actually a mechotzik tanoi. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, in connection with the Parah Adruma, so for onin a mechotzik yiporim, if an onin or a mechotzik yiporim burnt the Parah Adruma, ksheira, then it's kosher. If an onan or a mechotzik yiporim burns the parah adruma, so the parah adruma again is taken outside Yerushalayim to the Har HaZaitim, it's shechted over there, and then the blood is sprinkled, whatever, and then it's burnt. So if the one who burnt it was an onan or a mechotzik yiporim ksheira, then it is kosher, because Rashi says it's not essentially a korban, it's kodshed vedekabayis, and the whole concept of onan or mechotzik yiporim being possible only applies to korbanos,
real
korbanos.
It's considered
kosher vedekabayis, Rashi says. We learned that the other day in the Gemara. Tosfos learns differently that since, as we're going to say in a minute, a tzvuyoyim is able to do the avodah, the parah adruma, we learn that explicitly from a pasuk, so therefore we can say from a kavah chomer that an oinin and a mechotzik yiporim can do it all.
What's
a kavah
chomer?
A tvul yoyim is able to passel truma by touching it, and only in a mechotzik yiporim are not. And yet we see the tvul yoyim is able to do the
avodah.
Oh no, it doesn't passel truma. A mechotzik yiporim doesn't passel truma. He's even able to eat it. So therefore, both of them are allowed to eat truma for that matter. Whereas a tvul yoyim is not. So therefore, we can make a kavachimer. If a tvul yoyim is able to do the avodah by the part, not the avodah, whatever, all the various things by the part of adruma, then how much more so an onan and a mechotzik yiporim? That's how Tosfos learns. In fact, by the way, as we're going to learn in a second, the Gemara is going to say that a tvul yoyim is able to do the avodah by the part of adruma. The Gemara mentions in a number of places that the tzedukim disagreed with that, and therefore during the second mission of Fish, when they had a real problem with tzedukim, they would bedask him, be metamed, kohen gadol, and then make him tovel, so that he's a tvul yoyim, and then he would do the avodah of the parah adruma.
They believe it's the korban, a real problem.
I don't know what they believe, but whatever it is, they didn't hold by the limud, that means. Okay. Anyway. And that, by the way, led to, we know that there were tremendous chumras that they made regarding the parah adruma The Chachamim made tremendous chumras as far as the special dinim of Tumah B'Tahara that apply only to the preparation, the part of Adruma and nothing else. That was also as a reaction to this. Once they made the rule that the Kohen Gadol has to be a Tzvoyom in order to Lahoti Miliban Shot Tzdukim, in order to... Yeah, that's what they said. Because the Tzdukim say he can't be, therefore Fakir. They say he has to be, but that could lead that therefore people are going to think, well, maybe other dinim of Tumah B'Tahara don't apply to it. So therefore the Chachamim has to be extra stringent with every other detail of Tumah B'Tahara as regards the preparation of the part of it. Okay, anyway. Fine. So the Tanya, so for owning a mechusik kipurim kshera, so if an owning a mechusik kipurim brewing the part of Adroma, it's kosher, Yosef Abavi Yomer, Yosef Abavi says it depends. Owning is indeed kshera, mechusik kipurim psula. Now, what would be the reason for the machlokas? My lab, the hokum, wouldn't the underlying machlokas be as follows? Marisov a machlokas kipurim deserved kazav dummy. Yosef Ababli would hold that a machlokas kipurim is exactly like the original zav. And just like that original zav is for sure not able to ruin the part of drama, he has to be tar. Whereas the Tanakhama would say, or Marisov a lab kazav dummy, whereas the Tanakhama would say that not. The answer is loy. No, you don't have to understand the machlokas that way. The kulamak is zav dami. We could say both the Tanakhama and Yosef Ababli hold that he is considered like a zav. The hokamistiki, rather the machlokas is as follows. Dichtiv, like this. Mechusik Kippurim will say both of them will agree is like a zav. In other words, again, according to Rashi, that if you were to eat kodshim, you would be chayav kores. And according to Tosfos, then according like a zav, and according to Tosfos, that you can't shech the korban pesach on his behalf. But what's the machlokas? The machlokas rather is as follows. It's like this. Where do we know that a tzvul yom is kosher to do the part adruma in the first place? Yichtiv, the pasuk is v'hiza hatar. The pasuk says the one who is tar should sprinkle the part adruma water on a person. Is the word hatahar meklal shu tamei. Now it doesn't need to say the word hatahar because throughout the parasha it's been mentioning the person is tahar. So the fact that it says here hatahar implies that he was tamei earlier today and now he went to the mikveh, so he's a tevul yom. That's how we learn that a tevul yom is kosher for anything involving the parah. That's the point. He's partially tahar at this point, and that's enough tahara for him to be able to handle the parah. So marasava tumah dekol atorah kula. So the one opinion holds that this applies to any, the Tanakhama holds that this applies to any tumor in the Torah. So even, in other words, when we say tevul yom is kosher, it means regardless what kind of tumor he had, whether it was a tumor of a sheretz or tumei meis or zav or what have you, as long as he toveled and he's a tevul yom, then he's good to handle the paradra. Therefore, mechusik kippurim will be good. Umar Sava, whereas Yosef Ababli will hold tumor the half parasha. He says the kind of tumor that we're saying that you were tevul yom from is only the type of tumor of which it talks about in this parasha, namely tumas nes, because what they're talking about in connection with the parah adroma is tumas nes. For Mela, okay, sheret and nevela are even lesser tumors, so then for sure then. But not tumor yosef olam migufo, not the kind of tumor that comes out of a person's own body like zav, would be a partial level of tumor. That Yosef Ababli says the Torah is not saying that it's tevul yom from that as well.
Can do it, then a zav would be able
to... No, because a mess is not tumor yotzei olam migufo. The tumor doesn't come from his own body. A zav, the tumor comes out of his own body. And the third also. So therefore, Yosef Ababli holds that you can't say, just because the Torah is being master of tevul yom, do the part of tumor, that means a tevul yom from a mess or lower, not higher. Tumor yotzei olam migufo is considered a higher, a more severe level of tumor for this purpose. Okay. So he'll also like this. Onin a tevul yom that's me sheret. So an onin or tevul yom from having been tamei with a sheret, dekili where those are more lenient, also bekava chayim, tevul yom demes. So we can learn those by a kava chayim. If a tevul yom having been tamei mes is able to do the part adroma, how much more so an onin, how much more so a tevul yom having been tamei with a sheret. Av mechusik kippurim dezav, but mechusik kippurim having been a zav or a tzara, dechomer, which is a more stringent kind of tumor, became tumor yotze olam migufe, because the tumor came out of his very own body.
So when the tumor comes externally,
it's in a way less of a tumor than when it comes internally, right?
Such as
a zav or a tzara, yeah. So therefore he will say that no, you cannot allow that, and therefore he would say that the mechusik kippurim, again, by definition, it's tevul yom of a zav is a mechusik kippurim, because he can't bring his korban until the next day, therefore he would say he's possible to do the parah adroma. So nothing to do with the question of whether a Tevul Yoim is like a Zav or not. They can, both he and the Tanakhama can agree that he is like a Zav. However, the Tanakhama will say that the Torah is say a Tevul Yoim can do it. So to that extent, we accept him from the usual rules of a Zav. And Yosef Ababli says that no.
And they differ because?
So that's, they differ because that's the question. In other words, maybe which kind of Tumor is the Pasuk talking about when it says that a Tevul Yoim, who was Tomei and now is to a certain extent Tahor, which kind of tumah are we talking about? Any kind of tumah, or only the type of tumah that it mentions in the psukim over there, namely tmei meis, and then we can learn lesser kinds of tumah by a kavachai.